Welcome to the weekend edition of the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. Today's podcast features all the best segments from this week's slate of Undisputed. With in-depth interviews and discussions, we have a lot to talk about heading into next week. Skip, Shannon, let's get to it. Welcome to Undisputed, live from Los Angeles. I'm Jenny Taft, here with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp. Hey, guys.
Good morning, Jenny. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
Boy, Jenny, you seem perky after such a long night of celebrating your birthday.
How'd you pull that off?
Well, you should know.
I don't know anything.
Yeah?
Yo.
Yeah, go ahead and play dumb.
I'm sure Jenny and her husband had a lovely evening.
Really?
I'm almost certain of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm a responsible individual.
Yes,
I have an early morning.
I noticed that, yeah.
You noticed
that?
Oh, okay.
How are you, Shannon?
Yeah.
Way to go.
I never know with you.
Yeah, I mean, don't worry about us.
Thank you.
We got this over here.
You go ahead. We got this over here too.
Dap your imaginary friend.
Yep.
I was gonna give
it's
you a compliment.
It's me. I should just do this, right? Fist bump myself.
No, you shouldn't.
Well,
but I like the colors.
Thank
I don't
you,
even know
Jenny.
Why I'm gonna be nice, but I do. He looks. Well, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay, on today's show, we'll discuss more drama in New England, Josh Norman calling out Colin Kaepernick, and Skip and Shannon are going to make their Super Bowl picks. Looking forward to that. We are going to start things with Le'Veon Bell. He did not report to the Steelers facility yesterday, like many people, including some of his teammates, expected. Bell's agent told SiriusXM yesterday that Le'Veon will, quote, get there when he's there. Offensive lineman Ramon Foster criticized Bell to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, saying, quote, here's a guy who doesn't give a damn. He's making seven times what I make, twice as much as Alejandro Villanueva is making, and we're the guys who do it for him. Here's more from Foster and Marquise Pouncey on Bell's absence.
Well, I think we're just all grown enough to finally accept things at some point, and you're just like, all right, you know what? If you don't want to be here, it is what it is. Then hold out 10 weeks. It's totally fine with us. Like, as a team, we're totally fine. It takes 11 guys, not just one.
Do you take this personally?
No, with him not here now?
Plays out the way it has.
Honestly, I'm such a team guy that doesn't affect me at all. But at this point, it looks like to all of us that he's not in the game plan. So we're going to move ahead with Connor, and Connor's eager and ready to get out there.
In the ultimate team sport, we've created a league of individuals in a sense. I know the league is all about get your money, get paid. I love it. But my perspective is a whole lot different now. I'm in year 10. This guy, what is Le'Veon, about to go into year 7? You know, you're not getting younger, so win it, get paid next year. I get it, I understand it, get your money, but I don't know, at least let us know.
Shannon, Oof. Are you surprised Oof. By Bell's teammates calling him out?
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Because the way it normally works is that players stay out of other players' affairs, especially when it comes to finances. You don't, in all my years, Skip, guys hold out, that's none of my business. Because at the end of the day, the team is going to do what's in the best interest of them. I expect the players. Now, Marquise Pouncey says, it's fine. Well, if it's fine, why are you commenting? Why are you seeming so upset that Le'Veon isn't there?
Yep.
You see, Skip, this negotiation has gone even better than the Steelers of Hope. Because the Steelers know they got the fan support. The fans are always going to be there because the Steelers. Players come and go. You know, Rod Woodson wore 26. Mm-hmm. So they're used to seeing someone in 26. So they're cool. Mean Joe, all that. So players come and go.
Yeah.
But it went even better because now the players in that locker room, Ramon Foster, but. There is no but. The Steelers could have made sure Le'Veon Bell was there, Skip Bayless, because all they had to do was do what? Take that tag off him and give him a long-term deal. They made a business decision because what they've said is that Le'Veon, check this out. You've had two suspensions for you've been suspended for, you know.
Substance abuse.
Yep. Okay, lack of a better, substance abuse. You've been nicked. You missed some games because of an injury.
Yep.
So in our best case scenario for the long term going forward, it would be best for us financially if we do this thing year to year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Le'Veon Bell says, okay, I'm a business too. In the best interest of Le'Veon Bell, it's best for me not see you in minicamp, not see you in OTAs, not see you in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably going to show up that Saturday as long as he's there by 4 o'clock Saturday, all is good.
Mm-hmm.
I'll show up then. If y'all want to put me in. If not, hey, I'll go ahead and collect this $830,000 check and everything will be fine.
Mm.
Skip, this is why the NFL doesn't have guaranteed contracts. This is why they don't have the same benefits like the NBA and baseball. Because inevitably what happens, Skip Bayless, the players will turn on each other and the owner just sit right back like this. They're like, yep, got them again.
Mm-hmm.
Why? What good could possibly come of this? And Ramon Foster said, we do it for him. You do it for your family. If the Steelers weren't paying you, would you be blocking for Le'Veon Bell? Mm-hmm. You sound utterly ridiculous talking about we do it for him. You do it for you.
You're talking about the offensive line it. Like, they block for him, so they make him.
That's your job. Mm-hmm. You chose. Look, when you was pop with this high skip, coach told me, said, I want all my guys that want to play quarterback, go over here. All the running backs over here, wide receivers and tight end. Guess what Ramon Foster went, Skip? He probably went to the offensive line.
He probably did.
Yeah, so he chose that.
Yep.
So stop pretending like you're doing something out of the kindness of your heart for Le'Veon Bell. You have a job to do. First of all, and Marquise, even if Le'Veon told you he was coming Wednesday, why do you care if the media put that kind of pressure? Well, when is Le'Veon? You don't share information that someone is sharing with you.
Mm-mm.
Therefore, if he shows up, fine. You're like, okay, let's go, Le'Veon. We ready to go. But if he doesn't, you don't look foolish for saying he's going to be there on Wednesday.
Pouncey looked bad yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's what
his quote was, I guess he proved us all wrong. Like he was reporting, basically, he's going to be here yesterday, and he proved us all wrong.
That's why you let reporters report. Let
it.
Ed Bouchette do that.
I know.
You go snap the ball to Ben Roethlisberger and make sure he doesn't get sacked. And you open hole for Le'Veon when he gets there. Skip, this is two situations. Khalil Mack. Franchise tag. Mm-hmm. Didn't show up. Yep. Le'Veon Bell, franchise tag. Hasn't shown up. Look at what Khalil Mack's teammates said about him in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what Le'Veon Bell. This explains why they don't win. Because the anthem protest, Skip, remember? Mm-hmm. Oh, we're going to do this. We're going to be united. We're not going out. Now, all of a sudden, coaches on the sideline, building the waiver, standing at attention. Some guys in the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
They're splintered. They're splintered again.
This
is why.
They are.
Skip. This is so I can't believe, when I'm hearing this, Skip, I couldn't believe it. I've never heard teammates like this. Never. In all my years, I've never heard a teammates come out critical of someone knowing that the team is in an advantageous situation. The player has no leverage. The only leverage he has is his ability to hold out and get what he's asking for.
Yeah.
And basically, Ramon Foster and Pounce and some of these other guys said, nah, Le'Veon, do what's in the best interest of the team.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I am Team Le'Veon.
So, to echo what you just said, I have covered this game a lot longer than you even played this game.
You did, right? You did.
And I have covered holdout after holdout after mind-numbing holdout, because I hate them. They're hard to cover because they just are endless just drudgery,
right?
Because nobody really wants to read about it, but you have to write about it.
Correct.
You have to cover it. In all my time, and maybe I'm sweeping something under the mental carpet here, I can't remember one player ever blasting any teammate for holding out. They just don't do it. It is the unwritten rule in the locker room.
Absolutely correct.
You just don't do it. That's his business because that's his money that he's fighting for.
Correct.
And they all believe in get your money. Everybody believes that. And if it has to be at the to the detriment of the team, so be it, because that's what's most important is feeding your family, so to speak.
Correct.
So in all my time, I've never seen anything like what sounded like the entire team and the head coach not only throwing Le'Veon Bell under the bus, they threw him under the team bus.
Yes.
The whole team bus. Yes.
And the team got on it.
They got on it and just ran him over.
They did.
Right?
Yes, they did.
So, I mean, publicly, they just ran him over. So I got to read this Ramon Foster quote that Jenny read one more time, because I'm going to remind you, he is the player rep for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So he carries even more weight in that locker room, and he reaches all the way to, he's making 7 times what I made, twice as much as Al's and Villanueva is making. We're the guys who do it for him, as in open holes for him. But he reached all the way to his money versus Le'Veon's money.
Thank you.
Because he's scheduled to make $2.6 million. Le'Veon, if he accepts the franchise tag, is $14.55 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good dough.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. But again, he thinks he's worth a little more than that.
Well, I don't know necessarily if it's more than that, Skip.
Yep.
He just wants long-term financial instead of year to year.
Sure.
Yeah. So this thing goes all the way to Pouncey saying that Ben's a Hall of Famer, Ben Roethlisberger. He's played his career here with 8 different running backs, so I don't think it affects him that much at all. So he's even saying the quarterback's going to be okay, and then the quarterback spoke and gave all the credit back to the offensive line. I saw a quote in one of the highlight shows where he just basically said, well, the line is our driving force anyway, so it doesn't really matter who's at running back.
What about it? Who's at quarterback? Does that matter? You see what they constantly taking shots, Skip. And like I said,
you know what he was humble about? I think he did say, they make me too. I think he did, but that worked. That sounded good. Yeah.
This is going better than the Steelers could have ever hoped, Skip, mm-hmm. because now he's getting squeezed from all three sides, mm-hmm. his coach, the players, the fans. They just sit back. And Ruben, you're right. He makes seven times what you make mm-hmm. because
Ramon,
he's seven.
Ramon. Yep.
I keep saying Ruben. Right. Because he's seven times the player you are. And the running back mm-hmm. position has the – football is a dangerous sport. But it's more dangerous to the running back than any other position. Mm-hmm. That's why they have the shortest shelf life. That's why they have to get their money. Because, Skip, basically the prime of a running back's career is, guess what, on his rookie deal.
Okay.
And that's what – and the Steelers, so, like, that's what
I'm,
they're saying.
I'm going to suggest, and I don't know this for a fact, I'm just going to do 2 + 2 = 4. Something deeper is going on here.
Oh, yeah.
There can't be that much love for Le'Veon in that locker room.
No. Hmm.
The all-time holdout that I covered, I brought it up yesterday to Eric Dickerson when he was on, was the Emmitt Smith holdout
right.
after they had won the Super Bowl 1992. So going into 93 season, he missed the first two games. Fortunately for him, they lost those two games, so it forced Jerry Jones to come back to the bargaining table and make a deal with him that I still don't think was favorable to Emmitt. But
Emmitt held out. He was still under contract. He said, I've outperformed
that,
it.
That is correct. Not one player in that locker room felt that he had betrayed them or did they begrudge it.
Yep.
They loved them some Emmitt Smith.
Correct.
He was heart and soul of that team. Mm-hmm. So for me to witness this is shocking because there has to be some lack of love here. And it's back to your point. He was suspended twice for substance abuse, mm-hmm. and he has been nicked and had some injury issues and some muscle pulls mm-hmm. and whatnot. And maybe there's, remember at the 2 years ago at the championship game in Foxborough, he couldn't go. And I think some of the teammates weren't completely pleased
sure.
with him
mm-hmm.
that he
sure.
gave
You're
his
right.
all in that game. And let us get to this development. One young James Conner, and you remember James Conner played at Pitt, so he's a local mm-hmm. sort of hero mm-hmm. because, remember, at Pitt, he was the ACC Player of the Year in 2014. He was a two-time All-ACC, and then he tore his, I think it was his MCL,
right.
and they find he has Hodgkin's lymphoma. So he's got double jeopardy, and he is now cancer-free and appears to be fully healthy and had a pretty good preseason,
right.
carried 19 times for 100 yards, 7 catches for 61 yards. Mm-hmm. So he showed some flashes of being a pretty credible
right. Right.
starting.
Maybe a little Le'Veon-ish.
Maybe
with the 7 receptions.
Maybe a little bit. He's 6'1", 233. So
yeah,
he's carrying
he
can pack a punch. He's a little bigger. Mm-hmm. Well, they seem to really like him personally and professionally. And when Mike Tomlin was asked 2 days ago, why do you feel so much better this year without Le'Veon than you did a year ago? And he just said one word, James, as in James Conner.
Right.
Like he's like, duh, it's James Conner. So the team seems to like him and rally around him. And it seems like they're fully prepared just to go forward with James. And it's like, Le'Veon who? You're going to cut the cord that fast?
Skip, what good could possibly come out of this? How does this help their situation? Mm-hmm. How does Ramon Foster and Marquise Pouncey coming out as strong as they are against Le'Veon, how does that help this team? Because normally when you do things, we do it for the benefit of the team.
I can tell you one way only. If James Conner becomes really good
yes.
and they get off to a hot start,
right.
then that would help.
Right.
If they rebond, if they unify around James Conner and without Le'Veon and they kind of leave him out in the cold and they get off to a hot start, that would work.
Oh, you don't believe Le'Veon is going to report?
I don't know.
I believe he'll be there by Saturday, by 4 o'clock.
They've all raised the issue. I think Pouncey raised the issue. What if we start winning games and Le'Veon comes back? He said, would we really want to work him back into the
True.
Rotation?
And what do you mean we? Huh? See, you see what he did? You see what he did? He's talking about we, the Steelers, are we.
They have turned on this.
Yes. I guarantee you, when the Rooneys make the decision, they're not consulting Marquise Pouncey.
Okay.
Now he wants Le'Veon Bell to consult him and tell him when he's coming back to join the team, what his decisions are going to be. Mm-hmm. Marquise Pouncey, do you understand? Your time will come. The Steelers will make a decision on you as well, bruh.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about we.
Mm-hmm.
The Rooneys make their decision without you and Reuben Foster. Reuben, I keep saying Reuben. Ramon Foster.
But to your point, this team always seems split. They were split on the protest. Yes. You know, how do we protest at Chicago, remember?
Yes.
How are we going to come out of the tunnel? Are we going to step out? Are we going to stay? Coaching staff went all the way out and stood for the anthem. Remember that?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, this is at least a sign of some unity.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Huh? Absolutely, Skip. And like you said, very seldom is an issue the issue that's on the surface.
Yeah.
Something is deeper here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they know what goes on in the locker room. Maybe they don't like the way Le'Veon carries himself. Maybe they don't like Le'Veon's practice habits.
And remember, look, I'll be honest about this. I'm not the biggest Le'Veon guy. You know this. Mm-hmm. I've had some personal issues with him, but that's fine. Maybe I'm not totally objective, but there have been times when it appeared to me that he was almost as interested in his rap career as his football career. Okay. So maybe there's some of that operating here.
Maybe.
Go ahead.
Maybe so, Skip, but for a player to say we, when it comes against another player,
whew,
there is no, the owners say we, because at the end of the day, Skip, it's the owners and the players.
Mm-hmm.
That's a we, or the sponsors. But for a player to side with ownership against one of their own, when they know how hard it is to get money, get what you deserve.
Okay.
The money isn't guaranteed, Skip. This is not if Le'Veon had signed a 5-year deal for $80 million, or like baseball or basketball, I can see him holding out saying, well, I want money. I can see it. But that's why baseball players don't hold. You know, Skip, you never see baseball players hold out, do you? You never see basketball players. Have you ever? I've never seen. In the last 10, 15 years. You ever heard of
it? I can go a ways back. There were some baseball players who held out because of those rookie contracts they were on before you could hit free agency. But go ahead.
But think about what they did to Mike Trout.
Yeah.
They tore his deal up.
They did.
When they only had to give him like $5 million. They gave him $25
million.
Mm-hmm. NFL not doing that.
Yep. So here's where the tale will be told. The Steelers open at Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We just saw Hard Knocks. Cleveland's a team on the rise, maybe on the verge. I wish they'd start Baker Mayfield. You're good with Tyrod Taylor. Mm-hmm. But, okay, that's game number one. Is it dangerous for Pittsburgh because they are a division rival?
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit. Then it's the Chiefs at home. Then it's at Tampa Bay with no Jameis, obviously. And then the arch rival from the division, Baltimore, comes to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and you know Baltimore will play them tough.
That's what I'm saying. So there are four games that will tell the tale of Le'Veon Bell. Because in those four, if they win all four, he'll be out of sight, out of mind.
He's going to be there.
Okay. Well, he can report, but it won't be a big deal anymore when he reports. But let them lose at the Browns. Let them come home and lose to the Chiefs. They got a kid quarterback, but it's possible. I don't know. Then they go to Tampa and let them, for sure, if they come home, back home and lose to Baltimore, and the next foe up is Atlanta coming there. So, again, what if they got off to an 0-4 start? You don't think the sky would fall and also Le'Veon Bell could be mayor of Pittsburgh?
Do you believe that the Steelers would be willing to sit Le'Veon Bell on the bench making $14.5 million a year?
That's a great question. I don't know.
I don't believe so.
Well, what if James Conner gets off to the kind of start they think he could get off to?
I hope he does.
What if he's averaging 90-some yards a game? I don't know. What if he's catching 6 or 7 balls a game?
Le'Veon says, I'll be there when I be there.
Yeah.
And the game is not played on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, or Saturday.
Yep.
So I see y'all at 3:59 Saturday.
Yep.
But at 4 o'clock, that's when, you know, I'll be in trouble.
Pouncey said he did get one last text from him, the IDEK text, which means I don't even know. I don't even know. Like right?
Yeah.
Okay, like I don't even know when I'm going to be there.
See, and that's
and
why
remember, his agent spoke, was he on ESPN, I think, yesterday on one of the shows, whatever he was.
Mm-hmm.
And he's dropping hints that, oh, this could go on for a while, this holdout, right? Yeah.
And this is why Le'Veon keep says, you know what, see, informant, like Pouncey.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you telling them what you see? Remember, Skip, why are you discussing what you and I discussing?
Mm-hmm.
If I want the media to know, I got Ed Boucher's number. I got an insider's number. I can call them. I'm talking to you man to man, and you going back reporting everything.
Mm-hmm.
Dry snitching.
Mm-hmm.
See?
This is like public snitching.
This is going to be a problem.
This is wet snitching,
this
right?
This is going to be a problem, Skip. You know that, right?
Yeah.
You know this is a problem.
Well, I'm just seeing a team that still feels weirdly split to me.
Yeah.
Like it's got locker room issues.
They do.
It's why I can never pick the Steelers to have a big year.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little later. That's why I'm not picking them.
Pretty soon. But I'll divulge that because I was pretty sure you weren't going to pick Pittsburgh. But odds-wise, they have the second-best odds to New England in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Do you trust this?
No. I don't trust them.
No?
I'm not taking a stance against my teammate trying to get more money. You stay out of, like, here's the rule. Finances, his back pocket, wife, kids. That's off limits. Mm-hmm. Notice I said first, Skip, back pocket. You don't discuss that man's money. You got yours, let him get his. By any means, how he feels he needs to get it, that's mm-hmm. necessary.
Yep.
Man, I've never seen it, Skip. I played 14 years, and I was in the locker room with guys held out. And I get it, Skip. Sometimes I'm looking. I was the same way as a rookie early in my career. I'm like, hold on. Dude, you holding out? You making 300K. We know 300K back then. When I came, that was a lot of money. Yeah. What you want? Well, ain't no way I hold out. Well, here it is, Skip. I'm making two. I'm like, nah, I need more than this.
Well, the offensive line must love James Conner because he's scheduled to make a grand total of $578,000 this year,
wow.
which is a lot less than $14.55 million that Le'Veon is scheduled to make if he takes the
Man, time. That's more than I made in my first 4 years.
Really?
Yeah.
But you played in the dark ages, right?
First 4 years. Win a first team All-Pro and three Pro Bowls.
They have face masks?
They did.
They did?
Dark yeah.
ages.
They did?
Time to change. I made a cool 63K my first year.
Really?
How old do you think?
Yeah, I was a little banker. I was a little banker salary.
Really?
Not a little banker. So yeah, a little small loan. You a little small
and
loan.
You saved every penny of
I
it.
I saved no, not that first year. No, I got my first check. That cashed it like $5,300. I came home,
you
put off.
You cashed your first check?
Yeah.
I thought you probably framed it.
No. I had to put out, I came home with $5,300 and spread them $100 bills out on the bed.
Just you look at them. Better.
I you got this. Better.
And then what?
Then what? Dodge Charger or
No. I had a what you call it? I had a four-door Blazer. I put it in my pocket, carried around.
Did you?
Yeah, when you were young, Skip, you know you got to carry a lot of money.
I know, but your brother had money.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I mean.
No, we had money.
Okay.
Because he basically, I was in the league and he was still paying for everything.
Okay, that's a brother.
Yeah, bought me a Ferrari. I'm in the league. He bought me a Ferrari.
He did?
Yeah.
You owe that man.
I did, but you know I paid him back when I came in a little funds. You know I broke him off.
Really?
Yeah. That's the kind of brother I am.
Did you get him a car?
I gave him a lot of money.
So now you're in the Hall of Fame and Big Brother is not in the Hall
of Fame. We're trying to get him
still
there.
Still trying to get him in?
We're trying to get him there.
Well.
He should.
He'll have to have an asterisk because it's just because he got cut short. He would have been.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Prematurely ended his career with what? Like a spinal neck?
Yeah, he had abnormal lackness between C1 and C2. Oof. Basically, he had lackness between those. It's the bone that Christopher Reeves broke up from that horse fall.
Wow.
So that's why the doctor said, if you my son, I'm saying no.
And I'm proud to say I must be the only human who's worked with both Sterling and Shannon Sharpe on television, right?
You are.
I think I am.
Yeah. And you
lucky
still,
me.
And you still allowed to tell it?
Lucky me.
You guys feel the same about this kind
of
thing? Yeah.
You
guys call each other?
You know, you're still out. Let me get another year under my belt. I'll let you know.
Okay. Well, we are so glad that the NFL is back tonight.
No mercy.
So Earl Thomas is back in Seattle. The six-time Pro Bowler ended his holdout in practice with the team yesterday. But it's not all positive since Thomas tweeted, quote, the disrespect has been well noted and will not be forgotten. Ooh. The Cowboys were seen as a possible trade destination for Thomas. Yes, Skip is happy. Mm-hmm. Still hoping. Adam Schefter reported they offered a second-round draft pick, but Seattle wanted more in a potential deal. I know Skip is ready on this one, but I'm still going, Shannon. How will this end with Earl Thomas?
I don't think he'll be heading south, Skip. OC Hawk ain't gonna fly south.
Wishful thinking on your
part? No. It's not gonna happen. Huh? My thing is that I think what transpired, Skip, is that Seattle saw Khalil Mack go for two first rounders. They're like, Earl Thomas at least half as good as Khalil Mack. So we should at least get one first rounder. Mm-hmm. And if that was the case, why don't you just put this up this offseason? You're negotiating. Mm-hmm. You get closer and closer to the season. Seattle see you as being desperate, really wanted it. Like, well, how high can you go? Because it was reported that Dallas had a third round on the table. Then eventually they got to this, the second rounder. Well, Seattle said, well, if you really, really want him, give us a first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Dallas appeared to be walking away.
Mm-hmm.
If they wanted Earl Thomas, Skip, you got to go get him. And you got to, like, you can't be like, ah, oh, man.
Yep.
That's a really high price to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, you got to go plunge and don't look back. That's what you got to do. You're like, okay, we're going to get Earl. We feel he's going to be the missing piece to this defense. You take us over the top. Boom, go get it done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it happening now, Skip. They're not going to make this deal today or tomorrow. He's not going to be a Seahawk. Mm-hmm. I mean, a Cowboy. I'm sorry.
He's definitely not going to be a Seahawk for all that much longer because I think he's out, man.
Why?
Well, he's Jenny read the quote about, what was that? The disrespect has been well noted and will not be forgotten.
Skip.
So at some point, sooner than later, like at the end of the year, he's leaving.
Afraid.
That's what I'm saying.
But here's the thing, though, Skip. He started this.
Okay.
After a game in Dallas, he ran up the tunnel, hugged the head coach and said, come get me.
Thank you.
What's the disrespect? What do you think Seattle, Pete Carroll and John Snyder upstairs like, what?
Well, maybe they started it first.
How?
Well, they just indicated they weren't going to give him the kind of money he was asking for. He wanted them to tear up his deal and start it over.
Point.
I am not giving up on Earl Thomas, but I must say, this sounds suspiciously to me as if the Seattle Seahawks just jerked the rug right out from under Jerry Jones. That's what it sounds like. And to your point, Khalil Mack drops for two first-round picks.
True.
It sounded like they were arm wrestling, tug-of-warring back and forth, and it became, Jerry, give us a two, and it's a deal.
Right.
And Jerry wrestled and wrestled and wrestled, and it sounded like yesterday Jerry said, okay, I give in, I give up, I will give you our second-round pick next year for Earl Thomas. And they said, no. No. And you know how Jerry is. If you take him for a ride in a negotiation, woo, he is a proud and stubborn man.
Uh-huh.
He does not play that kind of game by those kind of rules. It sounded like they just jerked the rug right out from under and said, no, you know what? Now we want a one.
Right.
And they might ask for, I'm not privy to the negotiations, but let's start with that, a one. But you know what I said? I tweeted this immediately when I read this story.
Give it to him.
Give him a one. So what? You give him next year's Leighton Vander Esch? Seriously.
Because here's the thing, though, Skip. You believe that the Cowboys are going to be good, so that pick's going to be somewhere in the mid to late 20s.
And if you get Earl Thomas, it's going to be in the late 20s.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. So
And you can hear from the quotes from Zeke in the locker room, this was a big deal to them. You tell me, if you're in that locker room, are you not waiting
for the
bombshell, man? You get Earl Thomas?
Yeah.
Walking into your locker room, how much better would you feel about your chances if Earl walks through that
better,
door?
Because he's a proven commodity.
He's the best safety, free safety in football. Mm-hmm. You've got to do it. His coach of the first 8 years in Seattle is your coach. Mm-hmm. It's begging to get done. But Jerry is proud and stubborn, and if you bamboozle him like that, and it sounded like, I don't know this for a fact, but that's how it came across to me. And I'm with you that the Khalil Mack deal had impact, resounding impact on this, right?
Because you got to say Earl is at least half as good as Khalil.
And you know what? He is,
yeah.
And I agree. So why not a one? But Jerry's going to be dug in, so it's going to play a little longer. Is it possible that by tomorrow they make a deal? It's possible, but now he's reported, so that makes it a little more...
Less likely that it's going to happen.
Now, the Dallas Morning News report says it may play until the trade deadline, but again, their notion here is, their feeling is that it will get done by the trade deadline. You asked me earlier in the show, do you want that? You like that? I don't like that because they got to open at Carolina. That's a hard game. You need Earl Thomas at Carolina.
Well, Skip, you know how it goes. Here's the thing. You throw a number out there. You're like, I want this number. You're trying to sell something. You don't think they're going to give you that. But then it's like, okay, I pay, like, whoa. Mm-hmm. You're going to give me that, so it must be worth more than that. Let me see if I throw out another number. Let me throw out another number and see if you'll give me that. So that seems to be what Seattle was doing, Skip.
What was my first reaction right here in this seat when I heard it only a two?
Only two, yeah.
Only a two?
Yeah.
Jerry, just do it.
Right.
Like, Jerry, you should run the pick all the way to Seattle by yourself, right?
Yes.
Right up there, yeah.
Right? Come on.
And that's what happens, Skip.
So for next year's one, so what? It's Earl Thomas. He's 29 years old.
He didn't want to. Nope.
Huh?
Nope, Jerry said, I'm stingy. I'm holding my
picks. I promise you,
I'm building through the draft.
You know how Jerry's like a hardcore negotiator, and he is bent out of shape.
Yeah, he don't
right
like to feel like he's been had.
Yeah, he got had.
Because they were playing out like Jerry wasn't willing to give in.
Yep.
Jerry didn't want to trade the second round pick. Jerry. And then he finally says, okay.
He slept on it and slept on it. And you know, Stevens at his elbow saying, come
Dad,
on.
Yeah, Dad.
He calls him Jerry. He says, Jerry, come on.
You know what? Yeah.
Wake up.
He does call him Jerry.
He calls him Jerry.
Yeah.
Wake up, wise up. Jerry,
I've always
wanted to do this. And Jerry finally said, you know what? He mellowed on it. He said, okay. Call him. Tell him they got their two.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Wait a sec.
Guess what? Everything just changed, and Jerry is steaming over this, and it's going to take him another couple of days to calm back down over what just transpired. Mm-hmm. But what price is a season, man? I mean, it's just, so if a two goes to a one, big deal. Just do it. Swallow your pride.
Yeah.
Because he's going to have to swallow it now, and you don't want him to, obviously.
Nope. Skip, I'm
very happy with
you. You know what you mentioned? Thing. You mentioned that Steven, Jerry's son, mm-hmm. calls his dad by his first name.
Yeah.
I have some cousins that used to call their mom by their first name.
I've been around this too.
I asked my
it
mom.
Always shakes me up.
Yeah, yeah, I asked my mom, could I call? She said, "Boy, I slapped the taste out your mouth."
No, I mean,
I mean, how you do this?
It's just too weird.
It's weird to me. I know a lot of people do it though.
Yeah, have you ever said Mary?
No, just when telling you.
Oh,
my mom, you know, yeah. Mary.
What do you call her?
Mom. Mom and Dad. Okay. It's weird to me. I agree. It's weird to me. But it's Jerry. He's just in a different place than Dad, maybe.
I don't know what that is.
But he likes everybody. He likes going by his first name. He doesn't like for you to call him Mr. Jones. Like some Mr. Rooney used to call Mr. Rooney or some Mr. This, Mr. Richardson. But Jerry doesn't like you calling him.
You know what? He's always, I've been around him a lot. He treats Steven more like a brother than a son.
He does. Hmm.
So, because they're like, they do everything together.
Interesting.
They party together. They do everything. So it's like brother to brother. Mm-hmm. It's like he's his big brother more than his dad.
Yeah.
Been at any of those parties?
Not me, he has.
I don't know. Huh? Yeah.
Oh, secret?
I thought Jerry had kind of bought him off with the last party.
I missed it, Skip. I should have went out there.
Really?
Yeah, I should have went to that one.
Oh, well. Okay.
$16 million, Skip. I want to see what $16 million buys you in terms of a party.
I'm sure you
I heard a lot. Justin Timberlake performing in 2,000 people in unlimited alcohol. Shrimp, all the lobster, and you could eat. 2,000 people.
One day I'll get there, probably. No mercy. And in a surprising move, Khalil Mack was traded to the Bears over the weekend in a massive deal for two first-round picks. Mack was holding out for a new deal in Oakland, but he reportedly landed a six-year, $141 million extension with $90 million guaranteed in Chicago to make him the highest-paid defensive player in the NFL. Derek Carr was in the same 2014 draft with Mack and talked yesterday about losing the former Defensive Player of the Year. Take a listen.
The hardest part for me is, obviously, you know, you lose a good football player, but he's my brother, man. That's one of my best friends. So I think that's the hardest part is I just don't get to see my friend every day.
I talked to a lot of players immediately. After it happened, I've talked to a lot of guys the next day here at the facility, all those things. And honestly, I don't have any concerns now. Obviously, when it first happened, I'm like, you know, hold on, you know, I'm going to have to, you know, talk to some guys and, you know, things like that. And to be completely honest, I had a lot of guys reach out to me before I even had to reach out to some guys and say, hey, we're good, man. It's one of those situations. It sucks. We lost our friend. We lost our brother. But, you know, we have games to win. We got a job to do. And I think that's a mark of you know, Mr. McKenzie and Coach Gruden bringing in the right kind of people. You know, when things like this happen, you know, when decisions are made and that kind of thing, we have guys in our locker room that know how to handle it as men.
Shannon, can the Raiders overcome this shocking trade?
If you mean overcome it by making the playoffs, no, they're not making the playoffs, Skip. I didn't think they were going to be good this year anyway. I think they're going to be even worse. Skip, if they had done this, let's just say when free agency started or around the draft, okay, I get it. But a week before the season, it makes no sense. A team that's already struggles to put pressure on the quarterback consistently because basically Khalil Mack was it.
Yep.
And even with the beast that he is, it didn't always show in the stat sheet. It definitely didn't show it as far as team defense.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you know what, Skip Bayless? That honeymoon period with everybody talking about, oh, Chucky's back, is over.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Chucky's back, you know. Why two banana? You know, this plate right here. All that stuff, it's gone, Skip Bayless. It is over. Mm-hmm. You traded the best player you've had in the last two decades. Mm-hmm. You traded him for what? I told you, one of those two draft picks, they better be Khalil Mack. Because if not, because Khalil Mack, I feel, got another Defensive Player of the Year trophy in him somewhere. And that ain't going to be looking good because he's in the right place. It's hard for a locker room because they're looking around like, damn, this dude didn't do anything. He was quiet. He was the captain of the team. He was great on the field, exemplary off the field. And he can't get nothing. He couldn't even get a phone call from the head coach. Now, remember, Jenny, you weren't here at the time, though. But when old LeBron signed with the Lakers, he didn't call Luke Walton. Luke Walton wasn't invited to the meeting. And somebody crossed me. I ain't going to call his name, Skip. LeBron could at least have the courtesy to call him. John Gruden did not even call one Khalil Mack until after the trade and talk about, oh, you are a great Raider. I know Khalil Mack blood was boiling. He said, man, if I could come through this phone right now and put something on your, you know what?
He was a holdout.
So what? Just because you're holding out doesn't mean you can't have contact. John Gruden is trying. He should have been, he is the head coach. Mm-hmm. He also has final say of 53. You got to be the guy. Call him, Khalil, we really want you here. Mm-hmm. What can we do to make it right? Mm-hmm. You just, even if you're not going to make it right, you make him think that you are.
For sure.
John Gruden has lied before. He wasn't going, he didn't even call the man. And then when he traded, go talking about you were a great Raider. How do you know? Mm-hmm. You wasn't the coach when I was there. And you going to call me. How'd you get my number anyway? Mm-hmm. And if I'd known it was you, I wouldn't have answered the phone.
Well, Kick John rocks. Gruden coached better Raider teams than Khalil played for, I can tell you
he
that.
Have, well, he might. Well, who's the better defensive player that he had on that team? Charles Woodson going to the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. So I believe Khalil Mack is headed there also. You and I both know that. And they made a mistake by letting Woody get up out of there too. Mm-hmm. And how that worked out for him. They wanted him back. Khalil Mack ain't coming back. Return of the Mack.
So I agree with your bottom line to this. I thought the Raiders, different than you, I thought they could be pretty good this year, and now I think they're going to be pretty bad.
Yeah.
Because this has wrecked the locker room psyche of this team, which brings me back to you as one of the great leaders in the history of this league. If you were thrust into this situation in this locker room, how would you try to salvage it? What would you try to do? Would you go from locker to locker? Would you
lie to him? Yep. Hey, bro, you know, Khalil was a great player. Hey, I'm sorry he's gone.
You'd have to lie.
Yeah, you got to lie to him, Skip. Yep. And sometimes that's what good coaches do.
I know.
No, you got no chance of winning the game, but you lie to him and make you think you can. And that's what, hey, Khalil's gone, guys. But, hey, we got 11 other guys. We got 10 other guys that's going to come out there. I'm going to do my job. You do your job, and let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. We're going to be okay. Khalil got paid. We all wish Khalil well. Mm-hmm. But Khalil can't help us now. He's no longer a Raider, so there's no sense in us talking about what Khalil could or couldn't have done because he's not here now. Yeah. So we got to buck up.
I know. I agree. So I respect Derek Carr as a quarterback, but I love to listen to him talk because he will just open up his heart and he will bleed for you right on cue. And it's real. It's authentic and it gets pretty raw. And I think he bled a little too much for the media yesterday because he went on and on and on about a guy who's no longer an Oakland Raider. You can't slice and dice it anyway. You're not going to get him back.
Nope.
So he went on. We heard the part about he's my brother, man. He's one of my best friends. And then he went on to say that he and Khalil had planned the next 10 to 15 years of our life together as football players. Mm-hmm. And now we still share the same goal, he said, except I don't want him to win the Super Bowl. And then he adds, but I'm still going to dunk on him when he comes to my house in the offseason. He can expect that. Well, you got to let go of this now.
Yeah.
Like it's just too close. You can't keep saying this to the media because your teammates are going to read this and say,
stop sulking over Khalil. Yeah, he ain't coming back.
No, he's not coming back. And he did mention that John Gruden practiced yesterday. He invited anyone who needed to talk to him that the door is open. And I think he meant that they could talk in the meeting, too, if they wanted to stand up and talk. Would you have stood up at that point?
No, I got nothing to say.
Well, if you're a Bronco, let's say, you know, if you'd been the Broncos leader and this had happened,
well,
hypothetically.
I would have. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, I'm Mike Shanahan, who's my head coach for most of my career in Denver. I would like to think that he would have at least asked, Shanahan, how do you think this is going to play when you trade a player like that? Now, they traded Clinton Portis when I retired. Mm-hmm. I know what Mike was thinking all along because I knew some of the things that Mike knew. Mm-hmm. So I was a little surprised that he did it because I was like, man, I mean, 1506. 15 touchdowns, first rookie of the year, goes 1599 and 16 touchdowns. That's 3,131 touchdowns in 2 years. I'm like, those guys don't grow on trees, Skip. Mm-hmm. And when you're trading for Champ Bailey, Mike just did like where Clinton was headed as he was getting more popular and where Mike needed him to be. But Skip, that. But he didn't trade him a week before the season. Mm-hmm. He traded him as soon as free agency was available.
Okay.
He traded him. You're asking an awful lot for these guys, and I know. As a professional athlete, you're supposed to be able to compartmentalize. No matter what's going on in the outside, be it in your personal life, be it whatever it is, Skip, you got to be able to, once you come to that work, it's all work. and you leave whatever is bothering you on the outside, you leave that out before you come into this building. And when you go on the field, it's football. But it gets hard at times knowing that I believe this could have been avoided had you did better preparation along the way.
So Derek Carr concludes, you don't have to like it or agree with it, but we're paid to win games. Well,
so he basically said he don't like it and he don't agree with it.
And he doesn't agree with it. And I think he's basically trying to speak for most of the team, if not all of the team. I don't think anybody liked this.
No.
I think everybody was blindsided by it, which to your point, you got to like warn people this could be coming. That's not the way John Gruden coaches. He is the head coach. It's his word is the last word. He's old school. He doesn't sort of commiserate with the team or buddy up to the team or bond with the team. He doesn't coach that way. And you say that won't work in today's age.
It's a different time now, Skip. These guys here, to Mike's credit, he would always, and I always felt that if I had something to say to Mike, he would at least, I felt he was listening. I'm sure he didn't always agree with what I was saying, but he would listen. He tried to understand it from my point of view. I tried to understand it from his point of view, understanding that, hey, you got, you know, 45 other guys other than Shannon Sharpe that you have to worry about. But Shannon Sharpe is coming to you talking on behalf of some of those 45 that's in the locker room. And I'm down there on a more day-to-day basis. I understand and I have a better grasp of what's going on. And I always felt that Mike was at least listening and hearing what I was saying. I'm not so sure. John Gruden is like, look, you don't like what I did, so what? I'm in charge. This is the way I did it. Take it or leave it.
And I'm going to say this one more time. I know John. He is a shrewd operator. He knows how the media game is played. And I believe that he believes he has long-term security with this owner.
He does.
Okay, but again, the owner could just buy him out for whatever. I'm just saying it's not impossible.
No, but Skip, here's the thing. While these NFL owners are wealthy, Mark Davis is at the bottom. He's at the bottom of it, Skip. The Raiders don't have a lot.
But when you say you're at the bottom of wealthy owners, you're still really wealthy.
Yeah, but he doesn't have, I mean, Skip, he... there are very few owners that try to eat 100 meal.
Okay, but what I'm saying is I think John was probably getting a little bit of cold feet here because the pressure was just ratcheting up to win now, win immediately. And I think he just undercut some of that pressure in some of Raider Nation because they're forced now to sit back and say, oh, well, we got to wait on the draft picks.
Well, here's the thing, though, Skip. He doesn't have that luxury because Coach Belichick's salary is not listed, but John Gruden makes $10 million a year. So the pressure, the moment we
heard... he has said that's not true, you know, that that's been a little bit inflated.
Yeah.
Well, put it like this. We know pretty good, he was probably making $6 to $7 million. So for him to leave that job, you had to top that. So we feel comfortable, can we say that?
You also had to give him full authority of all
football.
He's got veto power.
Exactly.
He's got final
so the pressure was going to be there. When you make that kind of money, I don't care what the job is. When they pay you more than normal that anybody else is making, the pressure's there.
Okay.
So he didn't buy no time. He's just going to finish at the bottom of that division.
Well, he just did himself in. That's what he did.
And speaking of pressure, I mean, they start things out Monday night against the Rams and Donald.
Ooh!
Might be missing
and Dominic and Sue.
For that one.
Well, Crabtree's not there now, so him and... But Tlaib, I'm anxious to see Tlaib and Peters on the back end. Ooh, that's going to be nice, Skip.
I'm just glad we finally have some games to really talk about.
Yes. No mercy.
The Patriots still have last season's MVP in Tom Brady, but according to Adam Schefter, some members of the Patriots organization regret trading Jimmy Garoppolo. Schefter added that Garoppolo will be a top quarterback while Brady is, quote, at the tail end of his career. Jimmy G was traded to the 49ers for a second-round pick last season and went a perfect 5-0 as a starter. Shannon, what does this tell you?
Tells me that someone is Coach Belichick. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know if it'd be true. It just shows that there's possible still division by this decision, Skip. And New England, basically, you look at it like this. New England Patriots won the lottery twice. They drafted really well. They got Tom Brady in the sixth round. I think they got Jimmy. What did they get Jimmy in the second round, third round, Skip? But the second time, you gave your winnings away.
Yep.
Now you can have this. Because what New England, now you get on Cleveland, for not playing the long game. Tyrod Taylor is the short game. That's what Skip told me. He said Tyrod is the short game. Baker Mayfield is the long-term game.
Mm-hmm. Actually, Baker is the short and the long.
No, that ain't what you said. That ain't what you said. Don't do that, Skip. So the New England Patriots wanted to play the long-term game with Jimmy G. I give it to you like this. I got a better analogy for you, Skip. But I've been thinking about this. How can I get Skip an analogy? Let's just say, for the sake of argument, you got Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. And Brett Favre was still playing at an MVP level. He didn't win it, but he was still, you know, going to Pro Bowls and playing really well. They got Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers plays really well. And they say, you know what? We're going to trade A-Rod now because Brett Favre want to continue to play. Because that's the exact situation that you got. Coach Belichick was saying, hold on. I could have Tom Brady for one, two more years. I can win a Super Bowl. Or I could have Jimmy G for 10, 15 years and win three more Super Bowls. Which do I choose? What should I choose? Jimmy G it is. And then lo and behold, what happened? Somebody got wind of it, runs upstairs to their daddy, Mr. Robert Kraft, Tom Brady that is, runs upstairs, daddy, Bill wants to trade me. Coach Belichick wants to trade me. Do something about it. And he did. He forced Coach Belichick, against Coach Belichick's better judgment, to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. You say, I didn't care where you trade him, but he got to get up out of here. That was Tom Brady's doing.
Yeah.
And I'll never forgive him for it.
So did you just say Jimmy G will be as good as Aaron Rodgers? He's the next Aaron Rodgers?
He might.
You don't know that, but I don't think you believe that.
We didn't know Aaron Rodgers was going to be this.
I certainly didn't.
Exactly. Nobody did. I mean, they thought he would be good, Skip, but nobody saw this.
Nope. I couldn't see it in college. Would he fall to 20?
Yeah, in the mid-20s.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And Alex Smith, it was supposed to be those two for the first pick, and Alex Smith does go one, and then he falls. And it took a whole year for them, according to Mel Kiper, to completely rebuild his delivery. So, again, Baker Mayfield doesn't need his delivery rebuilt right now. He's ready to go.
Are you saying Baker Mayfield going to be Aaron Rodgers?
No, I'm just saying he should be the starter for the Cleveland Browns.
We didn't talk about that. We talked about New England.
Well, you asked me.
No, I didn't ask you about no Baker Mayfield.
Oh, yeah, you did. So, the point is that you know Adam Schefter, and I know Adam Schefter very well. He covered your Broncos, and I worked with him a lot at ESPN or worked around him. And to my knowledge, no reporter is more plugged in Foxborough with the Patriots more than Adam Schefter is. So he knows what is going on behind closed doors for the most part, if anybody knows, because they're very tight-lipped and guarded in Foxborough. So I'm guessing that your first sarcastic response was correct. I mean, Coach Belichick is clearly, he's got all kinds of regrets about this, right?
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that his little inner circle in the front office, I don't know who his lieutenants are, but they're all regretful about this because this was their big grand plan, right?
Yeah.
This was how they're going to move forward this year. Right now, it was going to be Jimmy Garoppolo, right?
He's the bridge.
So was it their plan to do? Sure, it was their plan. But their plan got blown up, and so it sounds like, according to Adam, that they haven't moved on from this, that they still harbor ill will over all this. Well,
I think the thing is, Skip, is that you realize when you want as much as they have to go back, because you remember in the 70s how much the Steelers won. The Steelers was like the Patriots of what we see now. Won four Super Bowls, got the AFC Championship games. And then all of a sudden, the quarterback get old. And a lot of this is predicated on Tom Brady. But you know what happens when you have a quarterback that's of greatness.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, you don't. You go back to mediocrity, and you go back to be laughingstock. Well, Coach Belichick, I don't want to do that.
Okay.
And I got the bridge in Jimmy G.
To me, this is all laughable that there's any regret, because all Tom Brady did, obviously, last year was go on and win the regular season MVP and play extraordinarily well in the postseason. The great comeback in the fourth quarter against Jacksonville from 20-10 down in the AFC Championship game. And then 505 yards passing against the Eagles defense in the Super Bowl.
Yep. And guess what? Coach Belichick says, I appreciate that. But okay. Jimmy G is my guy, and you found another new home.
So as we speak right here, right now, the Patriots are still favored to win this year's Super Bowl.
They
right?
are, yeah. yes.
And some people have favored Tom Brady to be MVP. Most services have Aaron Rodgers slightly ahead of Tom Brady, but still, he's in the conversation for MVP this year.
Correct.
And in the preseason, he played two full first halves, did Tom Brady, and he didn't look just good. He looked great. He looked better than ever, dare I say. got to knock on wood, stays healthy. But still, does he seem healthy? Does he look right to you? Does he show any age at all? So Bill Belichick has already been proven wrong.
No, Skip.
Because, well, in this league, you win now. And you have to maximize your shots. And I think Green Bay screwed up with Aaron Rodgers the first year. They would have been better off with Brett Favre in Aaron Rodgers' first year of starting.
No.
Yeah.
No.
What did Brett do? He went to Minnesota and did what?
You say you maximize winning?
True.
No, but actually, Skip, he went to Brett.
I know he did, but he wound up in Minnesota, and at age 40, he threw, 33 touchdowns to six interceptions, right? And got them within one ill-fated throw of getting to a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Right?
I've forgotten.
But
remember that?
I do. You said maximize winning. That's what he was doing in Cleveland. He's maximized winning with Tyrod.
I already told you, Baker will win more games than Tyrod this year, right here, right now. Mm-hmm. He's the present and the future.
All I'm saying is that I think Coach Belichick is having seller's remorse because he didn't buy, he sold.
Yeah, he did. No, he didn't sell, he gave away.
He didn't give him away.
He's having giveaways.
Well, when you force me to do something against my will, I might do, you know.
Yeah.
You know how people get petty like that, Skip. I read a situation, Skip, where a lady sold her husband's Porsche for $1.
Okay.
Because she made her mad.
Out of spite.
Yeah. You know? So when you do things to upset me, when I've had my way and look what I've built. I built this empire with a little help with your money, Mr. Kraft. But I built this empire because he brings in everybody. Because, you know, you keep talking Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. Coach Belichick buys all that. Mm-hmm. Now, Tom is the chef, but Coach Belichick buys all these ingredients and tell Tom how to prepare it. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to give him any credit. Mr. Kraft made him, you know.
Okay, so to use your analogy.
Get rid of his sous chef.
In effect, Bill Belichick sold Robert Kraft's Super Bowl Porsche for $1 because he sold him out because he wouldn't play Malcolm Butler. He sabotaged their chance.
He didn't sabotage
that
nothing.
That was pure spite.
No, it wasn't.
What else was it? Nobody has an explanation. We had James Harrison on the other day. He doesn't have any idea.
He didn't believe that Malcolm could have helped him because of the week of practice that he had.
Oh, okay.
That seemed to be the common, the reoccurring theme.
Eric Rowe was the difference maker in that game.
Well, he thought...
They gave up 41 points.
He wasn't the difference maker.
Nick Foles.
But he thought he would be the difference maker.
Yep. Well, wouldn't you, bite the bullet at some point, swallow your pride, and just say, Malcolm, play the second half?
I mean, who am I to sit here in judgment of Coach Belichick? Man, got 5 Super Bowls, going to 8. Yeah.
So
who am I to sit in judgment of him?
Well, I'm sitting in judgment because I'm a Brady backer.
Of course.
Well, of course. And I think they have a chance to win yet another Super Bowl this year. And if I'm Robert Kraft, I am on high alert because of what Adam Schefter is reporting or suggesting, that there is regret. And because there's regret, there's spite. And because there's spite, there could be sabotage.
There ain't no sabotage. So, okay, if we're going to play the long game, who's going to play longer? Will Tom Brady play quarterback longer or Coach Belichick coach longer? So if I play the long game, since you like long games.
Well, if I were the owner of the Patriots, he'd already be gone.
What?
I would have fired him off the Super Bowl.
Must be out your mind.
What are you talking about?
The man got 5 Super Bowl wins with 8 appearances.
I would have gone ahead with Josh McDaniels. Did they not keep Josh? Why did they keep Josh? Wasn't he going to be the Lions head coach? And then all of a sudden, what happened?
The Colts.
The Colts. I didn't mean the Lions. Yeah. Patricia, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. He got cold feet.
Got cold feet because Tom went to Robert, who went to Josh, who said, you will stay because you are the near future.
Yeah.
Right?
I hope Coach Belichick retires in the very near future because the likelihood of Josh McDaniels after what happened in Denver and what he pulled for the Colts, that's not very good on his resume. You know that, I know that.
Yeah, but would he make a good head coach for Tom Brady in his last 3 years in pro football? Yes, he would.
Tom Brady ain't playing no 3 more years.
I told you 45. He said 45, and I'm betting on Tom Brady here.
What year is this, 19?
Yeah.
It's 18.
18. What are you talking about?
No, I'm saying how many years. This is year 18.
Oh, yeah.
I gave him one more year.
One
more year.
Just one?
One more year.
Well, you've been saying that, and he keeps making you eat
one more.
You keep amending your
one more
projection.
One more.
It was just last year.
But Skip, when it goes, it goes
fast. So this is the last year of Tom Brady.
No, when it goes real fast.
Okay, so is this it? This year?
I said one more year.
You mean after this or just this year? Which is it?
Coach Belichick.
You're equivocating.
Coach Belichick will coach for the next 10 years. Tom Brady, 19, you're 19. he rides off in the sunset. And Jimmy Garoppolo has the 49ers knocking on the
doorstep. You're still confusing me. Is this Tom's last year or
this
next year?
This is year 18.
Okay, all right. So you're saying 2 more years. That's a lot of football.
Ain't no, I've already counted this one. This was in the bag.
Well, you've already amended your earlier prediction because you said this would be his final year.
No, I amended my prediction when they traded Jimmy G. Because my prediction was Jimmy G was going to be the starter up in New England up in that piece.
Who wouldn't want Tom Brady right now looking the way he looks?
Coach Belichick wanted Jimmy.
Who's better right here, right now, Tom Brady or Jimmy Garoppolo?
You know
who's better? Seriously.
You know what you told me?
I mean, that's what you're boiling it down to.
No.
Yeah, you are.
You just told me that Chris Richard might be in Jerry's ear telling, well, Earl ain't what he used to be. Well, Coach Belichick sees Tom Brady in practice every day.
He does.
And maybe he saw Jimmy G in practice. Like, you know what?
Maybe his vision is clouded by his resentment of Tom Brady's stature. I don't know.
Why you keep doing that? Why you keep trying to put Coach Belichick against Tom Brady? There is no resentment.
Come on, who's more valuable, Brady or Belichick?
I told you.
In the end, it's a quarterback.
Okay, let me see.
You can't find a Tom Brady.
How many different ways can I say this?
How many teams would want Tom Brady right here, right now, this year? 31 other teams would want Tom Brady.
I tell you what, this is what we do for a fact. Every other team would fire their head coach to hire Bill Belichick.
And every other team would take him right now. Green Bay would take him over Aaron Rodgers right now.
No, they wouldn't. Don't do that, Skip Bayless. No, they wouldn't.
He's the reigning
MVP. No,
listen, anybody, hey.
No.
Mike McCarthy would say, give me Tom Brady. If you could have him for 1 year right now, he would take Tom Brady.
I know. I tell you what, would Bill Belichick take Aaron Rodgers?
No.
If he wanted Jimmy Garoppolo, you mean to tell me he won't take the guy that's got 4-1 touchdown interception?
Well, he'd probably take Brogan Robach.
A different day. Yeah. We're not going there. He's from Brogan in the Midwest.
No mercy.
There's been a lot of reaction to Nike's decision to make Colin Kaepernick one of the athletes featured in their new campaign for the 30th anniversary of their slogan, Just Do It. The ad features an image of Kaepernick that says, quote, believe in something even if it means sacrificing everything. Yesterday, President Trump responded to the ad saying, quote, I think it's a terrible message that they're sending. The president followed that up with this tweet earlier this morning. Just like the NFL, whose ratings have gone way down, Nike is getting absolutely killed with anger and boycotts. I wonder if they had any idea that it would be this way. As far as the NFL is concerned, I just find it hard to watch and always will until they stand for the flag. Shannon, what is your reaction to the tweet?
Skip, remember we were having that conversation earlier?
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about that message that didn't sound like him. And I told you he is who he is. He is what he is.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. I mean, as I was speaking, he was tweeting this.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I wonder if they had any idea that it would be this way. It's hard for me to believe that Nike did not, because when you're in business like they are, a global brand, mm-hmm. they do something, Skip. You know, I'm not really good in business, but it's called market research.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they've dotted all their I's. I'm sure they've crossed all their T's. See, the Skip, did you know that Nike is up 0.04% this morning?
Mm.
And they're up 28% for the year. Adidas is down 1.8%. Puma is down 3.7%. That's none of my business. Not what we're here to talk about, Jenny. You see, the mistake that President Trump made and the NFL made is that sometimes they fall into the notion where they say, our fans or people won't. Well, you know, black people are fans too. They go and they buy product also. And Nike's like, you know what? Black people buy sneakers. There are a lot of blacks that support Colin Kaepernick and believe in what he's doing. There's also some whites that support Colin Kaepernick. So while we might lose some business, we might gain a little more. So we're willing to roll the dice because we believe in what he's doing. But I'm not surprised. Now, the only thing surprised about this, Skip, is that it didn't happen yesterday. Oh, I knew this was coming. Mm-hmm. That guy's like, hey, that's what makes this country so great. You can get your message out, blah, blah, blah. Hey, you can. What my note right here? I wrote it down. Skip Bayless.
I got it right here. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. I made the case earlier in the show. It sounded like our president had thawed a little, that he actually uttered something that sounded a little moderate to
right.
me, where he said, in his interview yesterday, it is what this country is all about, that you have certain freedoms to do things that other people think you shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, he said that? He's never said anything like that in his tenure in the White House. And all of a sudden, to your credit, boom, I take it all back. Because this is what I think Nike predicted would happen. This is what they were anticipating. This is what they wanted to happen. because this is right up their alley. They will love this. They needed this because this will make this campaign and make Colin even more popular yep. than he was yesterday. I think this will be on the uptick. And our president didn't go all the way to ordering Americans to boycott
right.
Nike, but he did bring up the word. He uttered the word or tweeted the word boycotts mm-hmm. because he said other people are already boycotting Nike, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
So he went right back in character. I thought this tweet would drop 24 hours ago,
yes.
right?
Yes. But knowing him, like I said, don't let someone's words blind you from their behavior. Mm-hmm. Knowing him, Skip,
yep.
especially since he's become president and even before, what has his behavior shown you?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, that was so out of character for him. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't fooled by his word because like my grandfather mm-hmm. told my brother and I, yep. I see better than I hear.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny, you tell us, hey, yeah. y'all told me y'all was going to take that trash out. I still see it sitting in the corner.
Okay.
President Trump.
At the end of his interview yesterday to the Daily Caller, he also pointed out that Nike is a tenant of mine, said President Trump. They pay a lot of rent. Mm-hmm. I think somebody then pointed out to President Trump, they're exiting stage right or yeah. left, right? Because they're already on, right. they're moving out. Mm-hmm. So they have already cut bait with.
But you notice, Skip, he loved to present himself as like emperor. You're like, okay, yeah, Nike, they occupy one of my buildings.
Mm-hmm.
You remember when Aretha Franklin passed? Oh, mm-hmm. she used to work for me. Who asked you that? Nobody asked you whether Nike was in your building.
Mm-hmm.
He brought that, because see, he loves that, Skip. But like I keep telling you, he is who he is.
Mm-hmm.
They kept saying, even on the campaign trail, oh, he's going to pivot. He'll be presidential. He's just doing this. This is just, mm-hmm. no, he's not. Mm-hmm. This is who he is.
So will this prompt NFL owners to reconsider having a policy against protests? I don't know, because they seem to run scared every time he tweets.
Well, correct? I know what they won't do. They won't give Nike any of that money back for that mm-hmm. 10-year deal they got down that's mm-hmm. locked up. That's not going to happen.
Yep.
So kudos to you, Nike. Nike got one over on them, Skip.
Because
mm-hmm. you know, had they gone to the NFL and says, here's, the, you know, this mm-hmm. is a campaign that we're thinking
yep.
about, they're like, nah, we really wish you wouldn't.
No.
Nike snuck it out there on them.
Yep. Well, they didn't sneak it. They just blasted it right in their face. Yeah.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Monday for another week of Undisputed. We'll see you then.
Facts. Sports. One of one.